Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Forward Church. Listen, I'm so glad you tuned in to today's podcast. I hope it challenges you and inspires you to go after God and be all that God's called you to be. Enjoy today's message.
We're in a series right now called Countercultural Living. So I want to kind of bring you up to date on a couple of things, and it's kind of cool this morning to see a couple of the students that I've had when I was at Chief of Middle High School. It's great to see you guys here this morning. And now you get to find out if I'm as real here as I am at the school or vice versa. So welcome. We're glad you guys are here this morning, and that's pretty cool. The difference this morning than at school, I don't have to have a tie on here. Isn't that cool? And by the way, I'm just wondering, speaking to the one gentleman, I hope that you're working on your basketball skills like you said you were going to, and you're going to be 1% better every day. And you're thinking to yourself, that's going to be the last time I go where he is because he just calls me out. Well, that's because I care. And that's counter to the culture in which we're living. But I want to bring you up to date in regards to the culture that we're living in and what's happening to our young people. I got a call this morning from Almond Gunter in Jacksonville, and he said, hey, I need for you to be in prayer. I said, sure, what's happening? He said, four of our young people in the Jacksonville area were over in your region over the weekend, and four were killed in a car accident. And I said, what? Jacksonville? Into our region? And I got further information when I came to prayer time early this morning. By the way, people who pray are countercultural living Christians. Further information that I was given was that they ran a stop sign. They had falsified their identification. Hello? And that once again, the statement that Almond often uses, alcohol and drugs are undefeated. So this morning, there are families in Jacksonville that are devastated by the news that their loved one, their child, is no longer here. It's a tragedy when movies and music and technology has a greater impression on us than the Word of God. Amen. And counterculture means you understand what's going on in the framework of society, but you're not living. Yes, you're in that society, but you're not living as those who are in that society. So this morning we're going to go to part two. And I was sitting there and I said to the Holy Spirit, by the way, he is present. I said, you know, sometimes you put me in uncomfortable positions. Because my preference would be not to even tell the body of Christ that we're supposed to live differently, think differently, act differently than the world. If you're living just like the world, you probably haven't even been to the cross. Someone came up to me this past week, and I was asking them about their salvation before they came to Christ. And this individual said, I grew up in a Christian home. I said, that's great. My dad was a pastor. What does that mean? Doesn't mean a thing. And then they said, well, and they named a particular denomination. I said, that doesn't mean anything either. Hello? I mean, you're not going to find any of those denominations in God's Word. Jesus, I told you it's counterculture. Jesus said you must be born again. And since he said it, went to the cross for you, for me, and then arose from the grave, and nobody else has done that, that might be something we want to think about. The only way I'm going to heaven is not because my dad was a pastor. Let me explain to you this way. It was amazing being back at Chief of Middle High School, how many parents called in at the end of the school year asking for all kind of dates to be removed in regards to attendance. Ladies and gentlemen, when we stand before the Lord, if you haven't done it down here, there's no need to talk up there. It's a very quiet house. My children have to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, just like I had to. Just because you're in the right environment doesn't mean you know Him. Just because you go to church, that doesn't mean you know Him. For example, I could take Robin to a dance hall, and just because others dance real well, that doesn't mean I can. Ladies and gentlemen, you must be born again, and when you are born again, you're going to think differently, you're going to act differently, you're going to walk differently, you're going to live differently, you're going to go against the culture, and that's not real popular. So this morning, I just want to dig in a little bit into how to live differently in a culture that says everything's acceptable. Listen, just because our country talks about tolerance, God doesn't have a whole lot of time for tolerance when it comes to sin. That's why His Son went to the cross. Can I get an amen? Amen. Uh-huh. Come on, church. Come on, church. Wow. I mean, God has a specific attitude towards sin and rebellion and all that it begins to manifest. Example. And I say it very respectfully, young people who leave the Jacksonville area get different identification and come out into a rural area, and then under the influence of not the Holy Spirit, but alcohol, they're no longer here. But if you look at any of the advertisements in regards to alcohol, they never show you the end result, do they? They never tell you what happens when you drink and then you drive. They never tell you of the number of girls that are raped because of intoxication. None of that is brought to our information. None of that is told to us. And then all of a sudden you have parents and grandparents who are weeping and brokenhearted because their children are no longer here. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the body of Christ to stand up, speak up, and live up to the way Jesus lived when He was here. Amen? So as we begin to look at this morning, let me just remind you what it was last Sunday. I only brought one principle. I'm only going to deal with one this morning. What you should do when you look to see who's following Christ, a follower of Christ always follows when they don't understand. That was last Sunday. It's all through God's Word. This morning, this is going to be a tough one. It's extremely difficult. Moses will tell you so. And then we're going to close with a story of a lady who was preparing her last meal for her life and for her son and was preparing to die. And then a prophet showed up and said, "Take care of me first, and then everything's going to be all right." We all know that story about the widow from Zarephath. So here's the principle this morning, and it won't be long, and I do trust that you will intellectually lock in to God's Word. How will you know that you're living counter to the culture? When you obey, even when it's against your will. Come on now. Obeying God when it goes counter to your will. Let's check out Moses. So the Lord showed up in Exodus chapter 3, and a guy's name was Moses. All he had ever done was take care of sheep. But we have a great shepherd in the New Testament, Jesus, who took care of sheep. Oh, and He actually called all of us who come to know Him. He's the good shepherd, and we're a part of His flock. And so the Lord gives this instruction to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. This is a backdrop to where we're going to go this morning. And He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin preparing yourself to be the leader of the Jews as I take them out of Egypt." Listen to what Moses said. And Moses said to God, "I'm nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" A little bit later in the story, he goes, "I also have a problem with speaking. I can't speak. How about if you have Aaron do it?" Hello? The theme this morning for just these few moments is this: those who are counter-Christians obey God when it goes against their will. Listen real close. Before Jesus went to the cross, he went to the garden so that he could immerse all of our wills in the blood. He took his will and poured it out in the garden. How many know that's theologically correct? There's two places that every true believer will go. One, they'll go to the garden and lay their will down. They're going to go to the cross and they're going to pick up his will. Hello? And Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Listen, it's difficult to live counter to the culture. In our daily bread this past week, this came out in the devotional, and I'd like to read it to you this morning, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 15. In reality, all of us easily blend God's truth with the assumptions of our culture. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance to test our beliefs against the truth of God's word. Let me read that part again. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance to test our beliefs against the truth of God's word, and then to stand for the truth with confidence and with love. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Thomas Watson put it this way, knowledge is the eye that must direct the foot of obedience. How many parents have ever been to Walmart or any other kind of shopping place? Yes, you've been there? How many times have you heard a parent say to a child or to a little one, I need for you to go to this aisle and pick this up, or I need for you to put that back, and all of a sudden you hear screams and you hear the rebuttals? That's a will against the will of authority. Listen real close. I did not see this nor understand this when I was a teenager. So let me go back to be where you are today, teenagers. When I was disobeying my mom and dad, who were the authority figures in my life, it was a picture of what I was doing with my Heavenly Father in heaven. Hello? What does that mean? The Bible says that children are to obey their parents and to honor their parents, and you will get long life in return simply by obeying your parents. Powerful principle. Obey when it's against your will. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Let's just capture two things. Ready? Ignorance and evil desires are bedfellows. That's God's word, ladies and gentlemen. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Wow. So when I was doing evil things, I did those things many, many years ago, I was doing that out of ignorance, even though there was wisdom under the roof where I lived. Hello? Now let me explain it to you this way. You're receiving the word of the Lord this morning, and there's wisdom in this house, but you can still go out and do evil things. And that's the power of choice. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So as I reflect back to those years, and our teenagers and adults are here this morning, when you're pleasing your flesh, you're denying the Holy Spirit. Let me read that part again. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit with what is contrary to the flesh. Listen, they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Most parents are teaching their children, do whatever you want. Amen. So let me go back to Jacksonville for a moment. It's extremely quiet in here this morning. As long as Joshua lives under the house of wisdom, we're going to know where he is and who he's with at all times. That's just the way it rolls. And now let me go to the Cruz. Thank God for his sister and his mom. Tremendous pressure out there, adults. Sometimes we know it, and because the pressure is so great, we won't stand up against it. But Joshua felt pressure on the cruise this past week. Thank God for good people in his life. But everything's set up on the cruise so that you can be a part of the culture on that cruise. Thank God he made it through the cruise. But that's just a foretaste of the pressure and the tests that are out there. You have to understand that there's an enemy that's fighting against your soul, fighting against your life, and would love to take you out early. Hello? Exodus chapter 23, congratulations, Joshua, and any other senior or parents that were able to enjoy a cruise and did not yield to temptation, for yielding is sin. That's an old hymn. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. The temptation's not the sin. It's when you yield to that. That's the sin. And sin will change your character. Hello? I'm not even close to the person I used to be when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. And listen real close. Let me help you out because he might be sitting on that shoulder talking to you. Well, if he made it out, you can make it out. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not know. And young people, you do not know what it has cost me and what it has taken to bring me to where I am in Christ today. Do not play with sin. Exodus 23, 21. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious towards him. The thing that took me out of the house of wisdom and took me out into the streets of the culture was rebellion against my mom and dad. I rebelled against my parents. See, I can see that today as if it just happened last night. Why? Because I didn't want to hear my dad's voice, and I certainly didn't have any time for God's voice. Listen to it one more time. Be on your guard. So guess what? I wasn't. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious towards him. See, I always thought I was only being rebellious towards God, but it actually started at the house. It actually started at the home level. It actually happened also a few times as a senior when I said, you know what? They don't know because it's such a big school and a big campus. I'm just going to sneak off for a little while. Hello? And I thought I was clean because no one knew anything about it. But you know what? That data just continued to increase, increase, increase. And certainly the book of Numbers came into play. Be sure, as my dad taught me, your sins will find you out. Amen? All we're talking about right now, and I'm doing my very best, and I'm trying to listen to myself as God's using me as a vessel to make sure that this is coming across to where you can understand it. What you do with it is up to you. But certainly it is God's word that it's time for the body of Christ to live counter to the culture of the world. We don't need to see marriages broken up. We don't need to see young people who are now devastated, missed the flashing light, and they hit another vehicle who was doing the right thing, and now individuals are out into eternity because someone wouldn't take a stand. Parents, know where your children are, where your teenagers are at all times. Play for eternity, not for the next shot, not for the next game, not for the next thrill. Play for eternity. Jeremiah 7, 23, please. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God. And you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I commanded you, that it may be well with you. God's desire is that we would be healthy, whole, and well, that we would have a long life. But we do have to listen to his voice. Even in my voice, God will use that to speak to you. Obey God's voice. Bill Johnson put it this way. Obedience is not measured by our ability to obey the laws and principles. Obedience is measured by our response to God's voice. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. I want to make sure everyone understands we're speaking about countercultural living. Not being weird, not dressing so that people go, wow, you're so different. That's not what the word is talking about. The word is talking about how your actions on display reveal who you truly are. As I shared a couple Sundays ago, the Constitution of the United States will never be altered until the individuals in this nation have their individual constitutions broken. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. God's got a great future for our young people. God's got a great future for this ministry. God's got a great future for this Tri-County area. But we have to walk in obedience even when our will goes, I don't want to. You do it anyway because you obey His voice. George MacDonald put it this way, I find that doing the will of God leaves me no time for disputing His plans. Amen. I'm going to leave Oswald Chambers on the deck, and I want to move on to the next scripture verse. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. So lust and ignorance are bedfellows. Evil desires and ignorance are bedfellows. One has put it this way, those who walk in radical obedience have made themselves ready for the storm and they will overcome. Amen. Down the stretch, James chapter 1, verse 22. Remember now we're talking about cultural Christianity that encounters the culture and then lives opposite of what the world says. James 1, 22, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. So that means it's very quiet in here. That means some of you could be listening, but you can be walking out in just a few moments, deceiving yourselves because you don't do anything with it. Listen to the rest of the verse. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. And by the way, I put this quote together long before last night. Dr. A.W. Tozer put it this way. The driver on the highway is safe, not when he reads the signs, but when he obeys them. That blows my mind. As a prophetic servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blows my mind. That gives me chills on this platform this morning. Because four individuals did not recognize or couldn't see the flashing lights out over the Bell area, did not see the stop signs, and were killed because it's not just your ability to read, but it's also your ability to obey. Can I tell you something that I learned many, many years ago? It took me one time of drinking and putting my vehicle in the ditch without any injuries, and I understood that alcohol will not teach you obedience. It teaches bondage. So I have no time for alcohol. I'll help those that are stuck in it, but I will not participate. And that's been that way for many, many, many years. So here's the closing story this morning. And it comes from the lady in Zarephath. Not a long message. It doesn't have to be long. As one man of God said, one act of obedience is better than 100 messages. One act of obedience. In case you didn't know, you should know, we live in a very disobedient society. So there was a lady, she was a widow. She had a son, and times were really, really hard in Israel. And she was called the widow of Zarephath. She was a widow because her husband was no longer there. It was, wow, mom and son. And the Bible says that in another location, there was a prophet by the name of Elijah. And Elijah had been taken care of by ravens. With God, all things are possible. That means ravens brought food to the man of God. So if you'll obey God, God's going to take care of you. Doesn't matter who walks in, who walks out. And so the word of the Lord is what the Bible says in 1 Kings. The word of the Lord came to the prophet and said, I need for you to get up now. No more birds are coming, and I need for you to go towards Zarephath. It's in 1 Kings. And when you're there, thanks for paying attention. That's really cool. That's how much I care about you. And you know that. And when you get there, I've already spoke to this lady. I'm kind of doing a role play, ladies and gentlemen. And you just go see this lady. And you tell her that you're thirsty and you're hungry. So he obeys God. I mean, the land is suffering. Food is lacking. Water is limited. But the prophet obeys God. Well, there she is. And he walks up to her and he goes, I need a drink of water. You ought to read the story. It's a powerful story. I'm trying to break it down to where it fits into our timeline, time zone. And oh, by the way, will you do me a favor, please? I need for you to fix a meal for me, Elijah said to her. And she says to him, I'm fixing our last meal. And after we eat this meal and drink, it's our last meal and we're going to die. You all play at that level? You ever play at that level? And she obeyed what the man of God said. Over in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. And so that's exactly what mom does. Mom gives him the last drink. Remember now, water was limited. And she goes and she fixes a meal for a person she's never seen before. Now hold on. Now you know mama loves her kids. And I went back and I looked at that thing again this morning and I said, maybe she took and shelved a little bit of it. You know, so nothing for herself, but gonna make sure that her son had food. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says she prepared the meal and gave it to the prophet. And the drink. And then the man of God said to her, your barrels will never run dry. You will always have more than enough. I'll be back in just a moment to give you a prophetic word from the Lord. And guess what? She never ran out of either food items. Her needs were always met. And she prospered. And so did her son. Because they responded. Hold on now. Hold on. To something that was counter to the culture. Here comes a man who knows what he looked like. I mean, he'd been out in the wilderness. He's been taken care of by birds called ravens. I'm thinking, I wonder what her thoughts really were. Like, would you please get out of here? Who are you, by the way? But she recognized the word of the Lord in the prophet of God. She took care of the prophet of God, and all her days were squared away. Wow. That's countercultural living. In a moment, I'm going to share something with you that we have an opportunity to do today. Man, the prophetic word of the Lord was so powerful in here on Wednesday. It was incredible. But I got to give you something from the Lord, because I had no clue where you all were going to be sitting, nor did I see how this was going to factor out. God's going to take care of you and your son all the days of your life. My name's not Elijah. I'm just Dennis Weber, but I'm a servant of the Lord. God's been watching over you, and God's going to meet all of your needs according to the riches that's in Christ Jesus. And he's watching. and it's going to pay off in the long run. Hopefully other parents heard that. Our children are watching us. And your faithfulness will produce a harvest in his life. Stay the course. God's going to meet all of your needs according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue his purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.